Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. And I'm gonna be talking about today the incarcerated Christian. How about that? The incarcerated Christians. Just keep an eye on what Paul's saying, because he's writing this from prison. So just see if you can feel what the Lord spoke to my heart as I was studying. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Precious Lord, we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for quickening us, giving us the power and the faith to make a decision for you. To want to be Christians, to want to be saved, and to want to be filled with your Spirit, and to walk in the power and the beauty of holiness. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Paul, the prisoner. We thank you for giving him the strength and the wherewithal to write this wonderful letter while in chains and shackles and locked up. Father, thank you for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When we look at the book of Ephesians, and I know we spent a whole year. I believe there's 40 plus sermons on Ephesians, but Paul is writing to Christians.
Amen.
But before he gets to chapter 4, he's explained to them where they were and what had happened to them. And we need to know. Because people all question me all the time. Well, you don't do a whole lot of invitations. I'm not real big on doing invitations after the church service. Cause I believe a lot of folks come to church and they join church, don't even know what they're getting into.
Amen.
They don't know what they're getting into. Then they struggle with handling church stuff. I believe you need to know what you have signed up for.
Amen.
Okay? And Paul lets them know what they've signed up for. He says in chapter 1, he says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The word of God. If you haven't heard the word of God, you can't trust it. You can't trust what you haven't heard. Paul said, after you heard it in a way where you understand it. You know, after you understand clearly. Talk to our young people. They understand clearly. They understand clearly John 3:16. And the young people going there, they're working right now on scripture memorization, trying to learn these scriptures, because you have to understand before you can trust. Let me say that again. You have to understand the gospel of your salvation before you can trust it. And it has to be taught in a way where you understand. And if you don't have an ear for it, then you don't have an ear for it. We can't make you understand. Our job is to present it. And I expect these men on Fridays and on Sundays to present it in a way where the babies can understand. Paul's saying here in verse 1, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed. You can't believe what you don't understand. You just keep going back. Pastor, explain that again, because I don't understand. And this is why we get stuck. Because we don't understand. I mean, I see the hands go up and I see the questionable look on someone's face, and I have to stay there because I can't go further.
Amen.
He says, after ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's real belief. That's not make believe, believe. You can, where I believe, but then you unbelieve.
Uh-huh.
See, once you believe and God knows you believe, He seals you. You can't break that seal.
Amen.
But see, God knows if your belief is real or fake.
Amen.
Okay? There's a whole lot of fake beliefs out there. Well, I believe. That R. Kelly kind of belief. See? Then in chapter 2, Paul says, you was a wretched, dirty, low-down, dirty dog. Now some folks say, well, I was never a wretched, low-down, dirty. Yes, you were. If you say that's really one of the criteria, one of the necessary things you have to be before you can be saved. You gotta know that you were a sinner. If you can't confess I was ever a sinner, then you can't be saved. You don't need to be saved if you were never a sinner.
Yeah.
God didn't need to be saved. Jesus didn't need to be saved. See, Creflo said, well, he was the first born again believer. No, he wasn't.
Amen.
He was not.
Amen.
He was not born again.
Amen.
Y'all got to know what y'all hearing. He was without sin. He was the spotless Lamb of God. We was with sin. Listen to what Paul said. And you have he quickened, Ephesians 2:1, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We was dead to holiness. We was dead to holiness. We was dead to spiritual things. Some of y'all are hearing right now, dead to spiritual things. Time to tune out and heard my singing. And I'm going to tune them out now. Because you're dead. Spiritually dead. You know, the thing that the Word of God don't excite you, don't wake you up. You can just sleep right through it. Text right through it. Scroll right through it. Because it don't mean nothing. And I understand it. And I'm going to stand here flat-footed and declare, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord. Because one day,
amen,
you're going to stop the social media in church, and you're going to stop texting, and you're going to say, Lord, I understand.
Uh-huh.
Save me.
Amen.
And that's all I can do.
Uh-huh.
But until then, text on. Text on. So I'm going to preach it. And one day you're going to wake up. You're going to wake up. Wake up. Everybody, no more sleeping in church. Listen, watch this now. Here's me. Here's me. Now, I don't like to say me a lot, but I see me here. Where in time past, Pastor Neil, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It was working in me.
Amen.
Talked to Roy last week, and he said, he working with a guy that worked with me before I was saved. And Roy said, I had to stop him. And I wasn't that bad. But Roy said, I had to stop him. See, folks all remember that part of you. Now this same guy that was talking to Roy probably didn't tell Roy how I prayed for him and his wife's marriage and how they came back together. Okay? How I used the struggles in my marriage to minister to them. See, Satan, he ain't gonna say nothing good about you. Forget that. You know, we don't remember nothing good about you. Listen, but I know because I know the Word of God, among whom also we all, that's why I can say me. See, we all, okay, had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of God. Excuse me, the children of wrath, even as others. Now, by nature, that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. See, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, look at me now. Watch this. Look, I got a new nature.
Amen.
See, you can't be saved without a new nature.
Amen.
Some of you can say with an old nature. That's why you keep doing old things. Say, God, listen. Preacher talking about that new nature. Give me that new nature because this one is still acting a fool. Still got me doing crazy stuff. Still don't have a desire for the things of God. I can't be saved. If according to the fast, no, I can't be saved.
Amen.
Not according to me. According to the Word of God.
That's right.
Okay? And then this great verse number 4. This great verse. This is one of the great verses of the Bible. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy. See? See, we want to be somebody to be rich in wealth and assets. No, God is rich in what you need. In mercy. See, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. So this God of ours is rich in mercy. Now he ain't, that's not all he is. For his great love. Great love. great love wherewith He loved us. For God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. Thank you, Lord. And then verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. Now, this is all before that big therefore in verse number four, chapter 4. Then Paul says this in chapter 3. Y'all know this one of my favorite verses in the Bible. In verse 14, Paul was thinking about all that God has done for him. See, this is why I know folks ain't got the right stuff. Because you can't come here and hear the word of God preached and saying and be distracted and texting and talking and walking and floating all around, because the word of God will just rip you.
Amen.
See, the Bible says in James 1:18, and you were begotten by the word of God. And if you was born again, I was talking to the kids again this morning. They said, well, my birthday this month. I said, what about the second one?
Amen.
See, we need to celebrate that second birthday. That first one will get you to hell. Okay? So you need two. So you need two birthdays. You don't need one. Okay? That one is down here. The second one brings you new life. That second one gets you in this presence of God. So you have to ask yourself, I've been born again. Then you ask yourself, I've been born again. Would I act like this? Lord have mercy. Paul says this after he realizes all God has done and how, what mess he was in. Paul says this, for this cause, 3:14, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen Matthew get down there just like his daddy get on his knees. I was like, oh my goodness. Listen, for this cause I bow my knees. That's going to be perfect. You know, we're not sitting here and worshiping Chester over, because he was a fallen man. He was in his sin and he had some stuff going on. Right, Sylvia? I don't say nothing. But he could say, for this cause, I bow my knees. I bow my knees, because we all going to fall short. See, if you think you get saved, you're going to be perfect. I'm not saying that. Okay? I'm saying if you get saved, you're going to have a hunger and thirst for the Word of God.
Amen.
If you get saved, you're going to have a desire for the things of God. You're going to want to grow in wisdom and knowledge. Paul said, for this cause, I bow my knees. And then he writes this tremendous verse in verse 4. This is where we're going to rest our hat. Paul says, in right in front of prison. Now, I told y'all a couple weeks ago, Paul wrote for the prison. And I read letters that people write from prisons. They don't sound like this. Okay? You know, they usually say, Mom, call the lawyer. Call the attorney. Have them call out here. You got to get me out of here. Big Bubba looking at me funny. He says, therefore, because of what you've done, he says, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, Paul said, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. Paul wasn't a prisoner of the Lord. He was a prisoner of Rome. But Paul said, no, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. I'm the prisoner of the Lord. Now see, Paul said, want these people to know what they signed up for. He said, you need to know what you signed up for, because we signed up for stuff. Now, Paul's saying, when you get to prison, one of the first things you have, and when you get to prison, is an orientation. They let you know you're in prison. Okay? They tell you the do's and don'ts. They tell you what time to wake up, what time to go to bed, what time to count, what you're going to eat, what time you go to medical. You just ain't doing nothing on your own. And Paul's saying, if you are a child of God, then you are a prisoner of the Lord. I think he said in Philippians, Paul said, I have been apprehended, handcuffed, and now you lose all rights when you go to prison. What Paul's saying, when you become a child of God. Somebody hear me now. When you become a child of God, you don't handle rights. You're going to do what the Lord say do. You're not going to make your own schedule. You're not going to do what you want to do. If it interferes with your assignment, what your walk, if it interferes with your relationship with God, you're not going to do it. We just do whatever we want to do, and we just give God the leftovers. Like He's some leftover God. You know, we got to beg folk. You know, I was looking at this and I thought about some great organizations, because when you join them organizations, they tell you
the rules.
Now, I'm not going to use the Masonic lodge, but I don't want none of y'all to get excited and think about joining. Okay? But when you join a bowling league, they got a president, a vice president, a trustee. They tell you, look, we start here. This is how much it's going to cost. This is what you need to do. Now, I didn't even want to use the Boy Scouts. Because they messing with the Boy Scouts. They're going to just call them the Scouts. Okay? Okay? Because it's just getting messy. It's getting messy, Homer. I don't know. You know? But the Scout Law. Now, the Scout Law. Some of y'all Scouts should be familiar with this. Ray should be familiar. I know Elmer taught the Scout Law. You would join the Boy Scout. You know, you got the Scout Law. Scout is. Now, think about this now. Christians got to be some stuff, too. But Paul said, Christian is some stuff, too. But a scout is trustworthy. A scout is helpful. A scout is friendly. I don't think a whole lot of church folks can even be Boy Scouts. I mean, a lot of church folks don't even meet the qualifications to be Boy Scouts. We trying to get to heaven. We can't even be Boy Scouts. Because we're not trustworthy. We're not helpful. We're not friendly. You know, some of the most unfriendliest folks you meet at church. I heard a preacher say, you know, you bring a carton of milk in church and you leave it to be ice cream. See, a scout is courteous. How about that? Courteous. You know, some of the old folk coming down the hallway gotta beg the young people to open the door for them. Then they waiting for a dollar. Like they had the doggone club. A scout has to be kind. A scout understands their strength of being gentle. He treats others as, this is scout's law. Here's one of honey hanging you up. A scout has to be obedient. A scout follows the rules of his family and his school and his troop. See, I told you. A lot of folks are like, scout. A scout has to be cheerful. And some of the saddest folks come to church. That's why I read Psalms 122 so much. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go through the house. I was glad this morning. I was glad to wake up. I was like, oh, Sunday, I can't wait to get to church. And Ray says, the first Sunday, I ain't first Sunday no more. You know, no, I ain't doing no pancakes, no. A scout has to be cheerful. My mic's gone? I knew it. I turned it on this morning. My mic's gone. Somebody, the devil, want me to turn it off. He said, turn off that pastor. Amen. Jeremy, fix this for me real quick. I might run today. Don't think about it. Listen, a scout has to be obedient. Elmer, this is coming back to you. You teach this, didn't you? Scout has to be obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean. Clean. See, he keeps his body and his mind fit and clean. This is right off the, this is just scout. This is they document. I ain't touch it. Fit and clean. He goes around with those who believe in living by these same ideas. Now let me spiritualize that. Okay? I was telling the class today, I'm not hanging around no married men that ain't faithful. Okay? I'm hanging around folks that like talking about the Lord, like I do. I'm not going out with a bunch of wine heads and wine bibbers. I don't care what they doing. I ain't running with you. Period. Okay? See, a scout hangs out with folks that keep the scout rules. And a Christian ought to hang out with a Christian. Not that we ought not minister to the lost world. Well, remember something. When you hang around lost folks, they trying to minister to you. They ministering too. And they trying to convince you that you a fool. And you trying to convince them that you are a fool. A fool for Jesus. Okay? A scout is reverent. And I know I spent a lot of time on this scout, but it got me. A scout is reverent. Reverent toward God. He is faithful in his religious duties. He respects the beliefs of others. They took that a little too far. Okay? So think about it now, folks. Here's Paul preaching from the prison. And he's saying, let me tell you something. When you get saved, it's a lot of similarities to being incarcerated. Okay? See, there's rules. Okay? You get a new uniform. You're not coming in there with your nice blue jeans on and your Timberlands. Well, they do give Tims now. But here's what I'm trying to say. Everybody will know that you are incarcerated. Okay? Everybody will know that you are incarcerated. And if your case is crazy, your case will be on TV. Your trial will be on TV. When they put you in jail, it'll be on TV. So everybody know, the public will know that you have been incarcerated. You know what? When I was reading this thing, I thought about it. Because everybody that, many, I can say everybody, but many of the folks that God saved, that Jesus saved, they were forced to make a public declaration of their faith in God. They say, wait, we read through the scripture. Here's the woman with the issue of blood. Let me read this now. He said, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years old, and she lay dying, but as he went, the people thronged him in a woman. Luke 8:42. And a woman, watch this now, having an issue of blood 12 years. Put your issue there. Put what you've been dealing with for 12 years there, because it's for everybody. Because ain't nobody in here not dealing with something. Okay? There's not no one in here without issues. Okay? Pastor included. I'm a us preacher. I'm not a me preacher. I'm a us preacher. Okay? Now watch this now. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her issue of blood stopped. Dried up. And Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? He said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody have touched me. For I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me. And when the woman, watch this now, saw that she was not his. Okay? She came trembling. Only way you're going to come to the Lord. Trembling. Bible said, work out your salvation. How? Fear and trembling. Reverence. Now think about your salvation. Has it been worked out? Did you come to the Lord trembling and falling down before him? Spiritual salvation, bro. Falling down before him, she declared unto him, now watch this, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Okay? Now watch what happened. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. God always calls for a public declaration of your faith. And then you're going to live it out in public. Amen. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. If you say you're a child of God, everybody ought to know. Amen. Okay? Folks at the gym ought to know. Folks at the mall ought to know. Folks at the hairdresser ought to know. Folks at Famous Cut or wherever you get your hair cut at, where the men go, I don't know. I do my own. They ought to know. Man of God coming in. Woman of God coming in. That's right. Let me give you one more. I said this earlier, talking about the rich young ruler, but God called him to make a public declaration. He said, go sell all that you have. Have an auction. Have an estate sale. Go let everybody know. So they're going to ask you, why are you selling all this stuff? Because I'm a fool for Jesus now. And see, he couldn't do it. Can't do that. See, now when I got saved, when God saved me, I had my record collection. I had it, man, listen, I had some stuff. I'm not going to tell y'all what I had. I had some stuff. It was records, okay? One videos. So I go down to the pawn shop downtown. Boxes of them, mint condition. Old Isley Brothers. Old Teddy Pendergrass. I had to get rid of Teddy. You know? The love I lost. But I had all this stuff. And I set it up on the table. And he said, I can only get a dollar a piece for each one of them. I said, even my Michael Jackson 2-album set. And he says, why are you getting rid of it? And I said, because God has saved me and He's changed my heart, and I don't have a heart to want to hear this anymore.
Amen.
And he asked me this, and I've told some of y'all this story. He said, does it take all that? I said, for me it did. Now, Dave had his record collection. He just burned his up. I said, well, you know, that's what it took for him. But y'all understand what I'm saying. Here's a car. When you get incarcerated, guess what, folks? Let me tell you young folks something, because some of y'all think this is a game. Because every time I turn on the news, I see young folks doing crazy stuff, speeding and running away from cops, doing all kind of crazy stuff. And I think about some of y'all just got y'all license. Okay? See, it only takes an instant, one bad decision where you're not thinking, where you're not focused, where you're not vigilant, where you're not being discerning. One bad decision. I'm telling the kids today in class. I said, listen, if all of us was in a van and we stopped at the store and little Justin went in and we didn't know he had a 38 and come running out and say, hurry up, let's go, and Jill driving speeds off, how many folks going to jail? Everybody in that van. See, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his what? His delight is in the Lord. So if his delight is in the Lord, the folks he run with, delight's going to be in the Lord. I don't know. Sound like it makes sense to me. Okay? Now I'm talking about close folks. Now I got some godless, unsaved co-workers that I'm a constant ministering to, talking to them and talking to them about things of life, and they come off and they talk to me, but I ain't running with them. Okay? I ain't running. I ain't going to the players club with them. Okay? Now I'm just being 100. Let me give you one more. Let me give you two more. See? Matthew. Not this Matthew. In Matthew 9:9, when Jesus called Matthew, he said, Matthew, come what? Follow me. What did Matthew do? The Bible says he arose immediately and followed him. Left everything. See, you can't come to the Lord with all your mess. You can't come to the Lord with all your mess. You can't. Paul's still talking about this prison stuff. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, and beseech you. I listened to Jeremy talk this Friday about just begging. Begging. And listen, Paul was a beggar. And if you're a child of God, you got to be begging. You got to be begging your unsaved loved ones and your family and your friends. Come to the Lord. And they may look at you like you're a fool. But you don't know when that door will open. When God's going to prick their heart. I'm going to beg. Beg. Come to the Lord. Please come to the Lord. See? Paul talked about these prisoners. When you become a prisoner, you just do what you're told. You don't call shots. Okay.
Amen.
You don't sit here and change the menu. Well, I don't, you know, you can do it now. You know, we're having meatloaf. Well, I don't eat meatloaf. Well, you don't eat today. In the joint, just throw it away. You don't like meatloaf, you just ain't eating today. See, what we do, well, you don't like, oh, come on, I'll make you some, chicken salad or something. No, you know, you get to the joint, you ain't calling shot. Call them now. But when you get saved, you're not calling shots. See, I heard Cindy Bryant. See, we have close to probably 100 godless, unsaved children, parents coming up in through here in a couple months. Now listen, folks. If we had some real incarcerated Christians, we wouldn't have to be asking anybody to do anything. We'd just be asking, we got enough. We got enough teachers. We got enough folks cooking and cleaning. You know, we got to sit here and beg believers to get involved with lost souls. I'm schooled. I got bingo night, line dance class, yoga. I'm going to be sick that week. Some folks already know they're going to be sick that week. Let's see, that's June 14th. Yeah, I'm gonna be sick. I'm going to be sick Thursday, Friday, and probably that Monday, Tuesday. Listen. Let me talk about a soldier and a prisoner. There's some similarities. Some of y'all been in the military. When you get to the military, you know, Jeremy would go to the military, he'd say, well, you know, I like my braids. Really? Well, I don't want to get my hair cut because my head is shaped crooked. Okay. Sit on down here. Be like the Tiki Barber commercial. Really? You don't want to get your hair cut, Sonny? Don't work like that. See, watch this now. Paul talking in 2 Timothy 2. He said, and he said, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. We ought to be strong. I know I sit there and I talk about strength and power. I look at sometimes of all the sermons I preach, and a lot of them, strength and power, and they always fighting. It's all fine. And then what helps me is now when these men are preaching, their sermons the same thing, because they can't find no soft stuff. You know, so I listen to them, and they preaching, don't fall out a window. You know, are you sure of your salvation? Are you elect? And I'm sitting here like, y'all beating them up and y'all talking about me. Listen, here's Paul. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, that grace that's in Christ Jesus is in you. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now watch this. Now Paul gives a fourfold view of what a Christian is. This applies to all of us because all of us will deal with this. He says, therefore endure hardness. You got to endure hardness. I mean, you got to be dedicated to the cause. You got to be, there's a commitment involved. I was coming down the road the other day, and the sign says, it was for the Marines, I believe, it said, we don't accept applications. We accept commitments. I was like, yeah, I like that. See, when God ain't accept no applications, see, we can turn the church into Planet Fitness. Okay? Well, I want to be a member. Well, sign right here. And don't know how to work none of the machines, don't know how to do nothing, but we just members because we all about membership. He said, you going to be a man of God? A woman of God? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about here. Okay? I look around. You're going to endure hardness. But you can do it. He says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen, let me tell you something. A good soldier is going to be durable. You're going to go through something. People are going to say some stuff to you. You're going to fall. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to get offended. All kind of stuff will happen to you in the house of God. But a good soldier, it's going to be durable. Going to be able to handle it and going to show up. Because, you know what? Not for grace, but there go me. Because everybody ain't there. See, we open the doors to the world. Everybody to our church ain't saved. I'm just being 100. Okay? Everybody talking about heaven ain't going. Our job is to preach it. And preach it. I don't want nobody to use me for an excuse. He ain't preaching nothing in our church. All he did was, you know, all he did was sing and dance around. No, I don't preach this gospel to you. You're going to know something. I'm going to be like Pilate. They heard it. See, he says, be a good soldier. Now watch this. No man that war entangle himself with the affairs of this life. See, we got so much going on. We can't serve the Lord. We going to parties and weddings and showers and dances and basketball and baseball and football, and I mean, we got season tickets. We go on, you know, roller skating. I mean, whatever you think of. Whatever we can think of. You know, I was listening to the radio station the other day, and this woman had died, left her daughter all these pearls, and she didn't know to buy them, so she called an auctioneer in, and they valued all these pearls, and they had a pearl auction. And she said there were thousands of people from all over the world come to this pearl auction, and they made about $600,000. See, folks look for anything to do. And our lives are so full, we can't get God glory. When we don't have time to pray, we don't have time to study, we don't have time to do nothing, but we call ourselves Christians. And you know, like I was telling the kids today, you know, listen, some of us are weak. Mm-hmm. And if we was physically, we'd be emaciated. We'd be like, weak. Now, I use the illustration, you know, you go to the gym. See, I use gym illustrations. You know, Ray asked me sometimes, he said, what you doing today? Ray, I do three things. I go to work, I go to church, I go to gym. Okay. So when you go to the gym and you want to learn something, you want to go work out, start a workout, you're not going to walk up to some little 35-pound frail man like, I want to train with you. Can I work in with you? No, you want somebody strong. You want to work with somebody that look like they know what they're doing. Look like they got some power in them, you know. And the church is almost powerless because we're so busy. Sometimes we got to say no. I throw half that stuff in the trash can. It comes every week. Every week. Come to a dinner. Come to a banquet. Come speak here. Come stay there. Listen, I ain't got time for all that. Amen. Because I wouldn't have time to study. I wouldn't have time to pray. And I wouldn't have time to love my family and my wife. I wouldn't. Amen. So you got to be careful. He says, don't get entangled. And entangled means when you're entangled, you tied up. You know? You don't love you, you got your Bluetooth in, you wouldn't be able to answer the phone. I'll be there. Anyhow, I got 9 things scheduled. I'll be there. What time? When you get entangled, you lose your focus. And when you lose your focus, that's when you're vulnerable. When you lose your focus, that's when you're vulnerable. Let me keep going. Paul said walk. He said walk worthy. Let me talk about this word walk just for a minute. I'm going to let y'all go. There's a lot of references to walking in the Bible. And one of the best ones is that we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. And really what Paul's saying, he says this in Galatians 5, when you walk in the Spirit, that means you have the Spirit in you. Okay? You got some word in you. You got some prayer in you. You doing your devotions. You listen to some music and some talk radio. Whatever you're doing, it's giving you strength to give God glory. Your life is a God-glorifying thing. And you walking in the Spirit. And you know what? You're not going to get caught up in no mess. Because when you walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, when you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the reason why a lot of us fall. You hear about preachers falling. I forget the name they use now. They got a little name. They don't want to call it adultery. Okay? So he had a moral failure. No, he ain't had no moral failure. He an adulterer. And no adulterer goes to heaven. So, you know, he got a drinking problem. No, he ain't got a drinking problem. He's a drunkard. Just call it what it is. Right, you know, he has a drinking problem. No, you ain't got a drinking problem. It's costing you your family, your job, and you're drunk. All right. Stop it. Alternative lifestyle. I'll leave that alone. See Claire back, she just imposing her will on me from the pews. Just a walk in love. Walk in love. Are you walking in love? Answer this one. Are you walking in love? Are you walking in love? Love is a verb. You know, Ray like hit me with that. Well, it's a verb. It's a noun. It's a verb, you know? He said, believing is a verb. Love is a verb. You know, love is an expression. Here's a great story. I'm going to show you what it looked like. I'm going to show you what love looks like. See, everybody don't have a lot of money. See, some folks don't have a lot of money. And then you say, well, I don't have nothing to give. No, let me tell you something. Let me read Dorcas. Y'all know Dorcas? In Acts chapter 9, this is a great story. She didn't have a whole lot to give, but she gave. She walked in love. And there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman, I like that. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now, see, if we just haphazardly study the Bible, you know, alms deeds. Alms is given. Okay? And deeds mean doing. So that's an unfamiliar word. Alms deed means she not only gave, but she did. And the Word of God said, which she did. Now why would God have to put that in there? See, a lot of folks are full of words and no works. See, a lot of folks are full of words. Uh-huh. They ain't talk real talk. But when it come down to the doing, Tabitha was a great doer. Look at verse 39. I'm going to keep going. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber. And don't miss this. All, not some, not a few of them. This all means she did some serious work. It says, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coat and the garments which Dorcas made with hands, with a finger. They didn't have Singer sewing machines and all that back then. Some of y'all got the sewing machine. Some of our young folks don't even know how to sew. Which she made. Listen. Here's a walk of wisdom. I like this one. Y'all know I like this one. I want y'all to be knowledgeable. Because I know what battles I face. As a pastor. I know what battles I face. So as a lay person, just out there, you know, I know the battles I face. I know what come at me on a daily basis. And I like to believe that I stay in the Word, and I stay focused, and I stay vigilant, and it still come at me. So if you walking out there, you've got no defense, no helmet, no shield, no faith at all, and you got to go down. And some of us right now here struggling with stuff. Paul said, walk in wisdom. He said, walk in wisdom. He said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. That's the picture of desperation. Folk leaving here. I sit here and talk to a lady yesterday, and you know, it's the same person Evelina was telling me, the lady over at Mill Creek Park that shot herself in the head. You know? The same person said she knew two or three other people that had died in crazy ways. I wonder if somebody would have reached out to that person. When is the last time you've been out somewhere and somebody just came up to you and asked you, did you know Jesus? And just walk up to you and say, do you know Jesus Christ your Lord? Or you get in a conversation with somebody and it just don't even happen. We so timid and shy and so cowardly when it comes to expressing our faith. And it's possibly because we don't have nothing in us. In the world, we're going to hell in a handbag. In the church, we just entertaining ourselves. In the lost world, it's just nobody talking to them. Nobody walks up to me, and I know I wear this collar a lot, but I don't always wear. But nobody's ever, I can't remember when anybody has ever walked up to me and said, you know Jesus? Are you a born again Christian? Do you know Jesus? Are you Lord and Savior? Are you a Christian? Where are all the Christians at? Mm-hmm. Amen. Where are all the saved folks at? What's your testimony going to be? I said this when Claire came in because it was on my mind. And Jeremy spoke a little bit about it on Friday. 2 Kings 20:1. Now watch this now. We got to walk in truth. We start talking about this Christian walk. Are you walking in truth? Can you, there's going to come a time. You're going to have to turn to the wall. You're going to have to turn. Some of you need to turn today.
Amen.
You know, this decision I'm getting ready to make is bigger than me. Turn to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us getting ready to get into some stuff. And we don't have God's approval. How many know what I'm talking about? How many in here now then got into something and not had God's approval? See? Nobody won't hear this kind of preacher. Listen, there's some stuff I done. I wish I had God's approval. Okay? Some of y'all paid for it. Paid big. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to help somebody. Listen, Paul, John 3 and 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Don't, does that sound, Mr. Brian, don't. I know Kayla got all A's, and that's wonderful. But would that be a greater joy to know that my child is saved, has received Jesus as her Lord and Savior, and if anything happened to her, she okay? Because see, hell full of folks with all A's. Some of the smartest folks in the world hate Jesus. Okay? Now here's his Ezekiel, Hezekiah. Thank you. I get up. I did that one day about five times in a row. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus say the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, oh, come on now. Now, listen. You can't go to the Lord asking for nothing without some credentials. Okay? Because God's not going to extend your life so you can continue serving the devil. Well, you know, and you know, just because you make a good sweet potato pie. Dorcas had some credentials. She had some folks weeping for her. They brought stuff in. Look what she done. She was faithful. She was diligent. She was a laborer. She loved people. And you tell me you love God and don't love people. You can't. You can't not love. Can't love God. God loved people. Die for people. Listen. Here's Hezekiah. Did I say it right? Hezekiah. All right, Hezekiah. He says, here's his prayer to God. And we ought to be able to say the same thing. As Christians, we ought to be able to say, if this don't resonate with you, then you probably need to get on your knees. And get on your knees and say, Lord, I need you. Because this ought to be, that's me. You ought to be saying, when I read this, you ought to be saying, that's me. That's me. And he said, I beg you. He said, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. Not man's sight. Not man's sight. In thy sight, because you know the issues of the heart. See, Hezekiah wept sore. He wept sore. Is that your prayer? Can you pray that for somebody? Can you pray that for yourself? What reason would God have to even extend your life? If you was on your deathbed and God said, listen, you know what? The cancer is spreading and it's taking over. Because that's what he had. Would you be able to go to God and say, Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. Could you say that? Well, you know, I ain't in a better place now, you know. Do all that. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. See, Hezekiah's prayer was full of truth and power, not some lame and meaningless stuff. You know, I hear some of this stuff. I hear some of this stuff, you know. The reason why, you know, you're sick and because you don't have enough faith, and the reason why, you know, just, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Can you go to the Lord? You know, Solomon, God gave Solomon a great work. And then God told Solomon, talk to me, Solomon. He says, talk to me, Solomon. And Solomon didn't have he was a young boy when he took over the kingdom. But he watched his father. Now, it's interesting because we know David wasn't perfect. David wasn't perfect. But when God dealt with David about his affair with Bathsheba, there's nothing else written in the Bible about David ever being an adulterer again. Okay? And see, your life begins when you get saved. I don't worry about folks talking to me. You know, somebody come up, you know, that second birth. That's when life starts. If you haven't had one, then you still got some stuff to deal with. But Solomon didn't have a whole lot. But here's what he said in 1 Kings 3 and verse number 5. I thought this was interesting because Solomon wanted wisdom. He didn't want riches and honor. He wanted wisdom. Watch what God does. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon, in a dream at night. And God asked what I shall give thee. Now watch Solomon's answer. Because he didn't have a resume yet. He says, and Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy. I like this. Accordingly as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. Now that's the new David. Okay? And thou hast kept for him this great sign. Now watch this now. That thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. You know what Solomon is asking God? Give me what you gave my daddy. Okay? Give me what you gave my daddy. Now you got somebody in your life. You gotta have somebody in your life. You want what they got. Now I ain't talking about they Lexus or they house or whatever. I'm talking about faith and power and righteousness and holiness. Give me that. Give me that. Give me what you gave him. Nothing wrong with following. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Somebody needs something. Somebody needs something. I got so much. I'm gonna close. Let me look through this. Incarcerated believers ain't nothing like being locked up. Let me give you this last one. It's a low walk. Paul said this in Ephesians 4 and 2. He said, walk with all lowliness and meekness. Let me stop right there. Because you know what? You can't get to heaven without being lowliness in spirit. You can't even get in heaven. How do I know, Pastor? What are you talking about? Listen. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen, them babies, where the other ones? They all quiet today. Man, I must be hollering them to sleep. All the babies quiet. But you know what? You can't leave them babies to themselves. Them babies need their parents. They need their loved ones. They need their grandmas and aunties and they need folks around them. They depend on them. And God saying, by using a child as an example, he said, you can't get to heaven unless you depend on me. Amen. Can't get to heaven. You got to come as a little child. As a little child clings to their mama and clings to their daddy, you got to cling to me. That's how you get to heaven. You ain't getting in there. Here I am. Yeah. You know me. with the megachurch. 20,000 members, 5 offerings. No. No. You're going to crawl before the Lord. You're going to crawl before the Lord because the Word of God says if the righteous scarcely get in, what hope do the unsaved have? If all your preaching Dorcas, all her doing Dorcas, scarcely got in. Paul scarcely got in. What chance do we have? Let's sit up here and lie. Tell folks, say, okay, well, got the scout's honor. That's the Bible's honor. If you're going to get into heaven, if you're going to be a Christian, and I can say, I'm not going to even do an offering today. I mean, not an offering, but an invitation, because I want to make sure you know what you're getting into. Because you can get up here, and the churches all over the town full of unsaved folks. Unsaved folks running the churches. Unsaved deacons. Unsaved ministers. Unsaved choirs and unsaved choir directors. Unsaved janitors. And we wonder why we not reaching folks. Church ain't great. It's just full of folks that's doing church on their own strength. And it always turns out messy. So, Pastor, what do you do? How do I apply that? How do I apply that message? Let me tell you something. You make sure you got the right stuff. If you know you don't, you sitting here today, you go, listen, Pastor, listen. I don't believe I had the right stuff because I could care. I haven't opened that Bible in a month. And I don't even know where it's at. Then you got to ask yourself, are you serious about this? Are you serious about this?